Hi, hello, and welcome to The Lost Level, Episode 0. I'm your host, G, and joining me today is the guy who created Lost Level,
Chris Lovant.
And you want to explain what The Lost Level is to our first and awesome listeners?
Well, this is obviously Episode 0 for us, and what we want to do here is we don't necessarily want to cover news in depth because obviously we get the same news that you do on your RSS feeds from different websites. So what we kind of wanted to focus in on here at Lost Level is going through our personal opinions of games that we've been playing, movies that we've watched, and, you know, we will cover some big news and title or stuff like that, but mostly it's just going to be reviews and stuff we've been playing.
Yeah, like bitsy review, tiny reviews of games we've seen or something you've been playing recently.
Right, right. Yeah, and the other nice thing about this podcast, too, is G and I come from different worlds. Basically, he is a Eastern gamer, and I'm more of a Western type gamer. So our opinions differ as much as a 360 versus a PS3.
In short, it's the reason why people should be listening to this podcast, because it's about two different worlds sort of colliding.
Right. And like, in a way. We just had an hour-long conversation about something that I wasn't aware of offline, but I'm not going to get into it on here, but I learn a lot from this kid, and I think he learns a little bit from me, so it's going to be interesting going through this. Like I said, this is episode zero, so...
Yep. And if you guys have listened to our previous podcast, which was the review cast of Thor, we apologize for the audio issues, and hopefully this will sound better, because I have actually studied a little bit of this. Have I?
Yeah, I think the sound quality is actually going to be a lot stronger. And
yeah.
We're still in the test phases, too, so bear with us. If you do get some audio problems, we're hammering out all the technical issues as we speak. So,
okay, so basically right now we're going to have two segments. First off, we're going to talk about games, and then afterwards it'll be the news. Trust me, there's been a lot of interesting stuff that happened like a few hours ago, literally.
Literally today.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that. But first, should I call it the What You Been Up To?
Sure, man. We don't have a title for the segment yet, obviously. So, what
are we going up to? That is actually an old reference to my previous podcast, World 3. Hi, guys. Anyway, let's do stuff we've been playing recently.
That was like a shameless plug, sir.
Okay, let's start with you, Chris. So, what have you been playing lately? Games. Let's go with games first.
Okay. Obviously, I've been playing more updated games. Been playing the recently released L.A. Noire.
Like to talk about that later, too.
Yeah, I know G's going to talk about it a little bit more, and we're also going to have a separate review cast for L.A. Noire, so we aren't going to go in-depth in it, so I'm not going to really talk about that one. But one of the games I did want to talk about that I played recently has been Dragon Age 2.
Yeah, game that came out a few months back.
Yeah, it's been out for a couple months now.
Yeah.
And in terms of Dragon Age 2, like, I don't know, G, you played the first one, obviously.
No, I didn't play the first one.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, I didn't play the first one, which is why I actually believe that Part 2 is a good entry point for people who have not played the first.
Okay.
But no, but I'll let you talk about it, because you played both games, and I'm not really a fan to begin with. Although I kind of became a fan after 2, but no, let's hear.
Okay, well, that's an interesting point of view, actually, because like I've been a big fan of the Dragon Age series. Obviously, this is the second one that I'm going to be talking about a little bit, but to give you a little background, I did play the crap out of the first one. I played all the DLCs, really loved the universe that they created for Dragon Age 1. So I was super stoked when they announced Dragon Age 2. Obviously, it's a BioWare thing. I'm also kind of BioWare biased.
I didn't know you actually were a fan of the first. Would that mean that you are a fan of, like, Baldur's Gate?
Yeah, I played those games.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm a BioWare fan. Okay,
carry on.
So, yeah, I have played that. I obviously love the Mass Effect series to death.
Oh, yeah, we both love the Mass Effect series.
But in terms of Dragon Age, I really liked what they did with the first one. I thought the storyline was really strong. There was obviously little quirky things that was wrong with the thing, like the excessive blood on people everywhere. They kind of toned that down in the second.
I can't tell, actually. I thought it was more bloodier.
It's very limited in terms of toning it down, but they definitely still put a lot of blood in that. And I think it's almost ridiculous the way that they do that. It's like I'm going to walk into a church and talk to a monk and I'm dripping in blood.
Okay.
But it's just such an odd thing. But anyways, Dragon Age 2.
I like it.
I did finish it, and what can I say? I could say that I was thoroughly disappointed by it.
You were?
Yes. Because coming from the first one being so strong, this one started out really strong. Mm. But I felt like the main enemy that you have in the first half of the game should have been the main enemy throughout the whole entire game.
Okay.
I think after you finish up defeating him, the game gets into like this political mess that just never really finds itself after that struggle.
Well, I haven't played the first, but I know, I mean, I'm aware that the first game has a more, or had a really epic storyline, kind of like Lord of the Rings, where the second game, I believe it felt more of a personal scenario. I mentioned this in a other podcast before, but I compare it to a, the first one had a movie blockbuster feel to it. This second game, it has more of a TV drama feel to it, because there's not really a main bad guy to begin with. It's more mostly about you and your family and his relations to, I mean, his sort of goals in the city, because it's only like one town anyway, right? I mean, there's not like big ass other cities you can visit to, so it felt limited. But then again, I really can't compare much because I didn't play the first, but if you're gonna ask me though, I enjoyed the game, but I can't say I was disappointed because I really can't compare, but overall I enjoyed. I mean, it's disappointing though in the sense that the ending was a little bit lacking for me. Like,
did you feel like there should have been more to the ending?
Yeah, like it felt like a bridge game sort of
thing. It did, you know, you're right about that. The ending did,
it leads to a bigger plot probably in the third game,
right,
or whatever. I mean, we're not going to spoil people here, but...
Right. No, I think you raise a really good point. It does feel it's a lot more personal than the first game.
Yeah.
And I guess I really wanted more of an epic scale to it. And then, like you said, it's pretty much centralized in one little area.
Right.
And progressing through the game, it felt like the designers kind of just got lazy. Because
speaking of lazy, the recycled dungeons.
That's what I was going to talk about. Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, you're progressing through the game and you're over halfway through it, and all of a sudden you have to go back to a different dungeon, but yet it looks the same as the previous dungeon, right down to the same areas, the same, you know, twists and turns. It's really lazy design. And, you know, I talked to a couple friends about this, and I think that we all kind of agreed that BioWare kind of took some of the programmers and designers away from Dragon Age and said, hey, let's go work on Mass Effect.
You think so?
I don't know, man.
I think it's a separate team.
It is a separate team, but at the same time, they're really focused in on Mass Effect right now.
Well, it's a good thing that they delayed the game as well, because you don't want to have another Dragon Age 2 scenario where you felt like it was rushed.
No, exactly. I completely agree with you. You know, take as much time as you need, BioWare, but please deliver on Mass Effect 3.
So, yeah, anything else about the game that you want to add up?
A couple of things I want to do is, I know that you're a JRPG player. I'm more of an RPG player. What I didn't like about Dragon Age is I'm like a completionist gamer. So what that means is if there's a side quest out there, I'm probably going to do the side quest before I go back to the main plot quests. In Dragon Age 2, this is one of the first games I've played in a while where they almost punish you for taking some of those side quests, because by doing a I guess sidekick's side quest, some of the times they'll leave your party.
I don't know.
And that really pissed me off. Like, I'll give you one example. There's a character named Anders in the game, and I used Anders as my primary healer, which I think a lot of people
did. I think he's the only healer we could all rely on.
Yeah, I mean, he is my primary healer, and if you go, you progress through the game and you do his one of his last side quests, he leaves your party before the end battle.
That one I didn't know, because I'd actually didn't I do this? I forgot.
Like, I learned my mistake because I lost Isabella, the pirate girl. Yeah. I lost her by doing her side quest. I'm like, well, this is kind of weird, especially for a BioShock game, because, like, Mass Effect rewards you for doing
side
quests because you gain your partner's loyalties.
Loyalty, the skill, they increase the skill, and the, well, the clothes or skins, mm-hmm.
yeah.
which I like.
Exactly. So where their philosophy in Mass Effect, they reward you for doing side quests and you gain your partner's loyalties and whatnot. In this game, however, they took a completely different turn and they almost punish you for wanting to do the extra missions. And I lost probably about an hour and a half to 2 hours in my games because I did the Ender side quest thinking, like, I'll get his loyalty and it'll be good. And then all of a sudden I waste those 2 hours because guess what? He left my party. And I was super pissed about that. But then luckily I saved like crazy. So I went to a previous save and reloaded and
didn't
do it.
At least, yeah.
So that's like one of the main things I did want to discuss, though, because that just really boggled my mind how they almost penalized you for doing that. I think that the characters in here were pretty strong. The acting was pretty good. But I didn't like the lazy feel to it.
The dwarf is good, I was going
to
say.
Yeah, the dwarf is excellent. There's definitely some... There's a lot of pluses to the game. I wouldn't... It's necessary to say that they outweigh the negatives, unfortunately, but it's a rent. It's definitely not as good.
You're going to say rental.
Yeah, I would like rent it or borrow it from somebody.
For me, I think it's still a worthy purchase. It's a solid game, but it could have been better.
It could have been better.
It's definitely. Not Mass Effect 2 as to Mass Effect 1.
Oh, it's not even Dragon Age 1. It's just it's a different game. Yes, they changed some of the gameplay styles and make it quicker. And you're not necessarily boggled down into a wheel where you were almost hitting select almost every single time to locate a spell or something like that. So they kind of centralized everything and made it quicker for you, which is nice. And they did a couple of nice animations when you do some of the stuff that they didn't have in Dragon Age. But those upgrades didn't carry the game.
Okay. So overall, you just pretty much liked it, but not really...
Yeah, I liked it. I don't know if I'm going to go back to it now and purchase any DLC that come out going forward. Where, like I said in the first one, I purchased pretty much all the DLC that
really?
Came out. I love the first one, like, too much. And this one, I don't know if I'm going to go back to it. I'm done with that world until...
I heard they're making 3 already as we speak.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to because the way the 2 ended.
No, I mean, like, literally, they're... I don't know if it's going to be announced at E3, so...
Yeah, maybe. It probably will.
We never know, but yeah, I heard it. Guys are, like, picking up the pieces already for that, so...
Okay. As long as... I don't know. They're like... What's your opinion on it, though? Because...
Well, like I said, I like the game. I thought it's a good entry point for guys who haven't played Dragon Age.
Okay.
And, yeah, well, I'm a little disappointed with the whole third act, the Act 3, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 3? I don't know. Whatever. But, the part where... You defeat this villain, and then suddenly he goes politics, and then somehow I was expecting it to end in a awesome fashion because the Grey Warden—it's not a spoiler, but they showed up near the end, and you were like, you know, they're like hinting on something epic or something much bigger than what you were doing in what's the town's name, the city's name? I forgot. Anyway, so you know they were hinting on it, and I was expecting like to be so are we going to be leading to something really awesome? But yeah, I didn't really go.
Right. And so not playing the first game, you understand the significance of the Grey Wardens in the series?
In a way, I mean, there are some of the, the codex you could read on in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not, they're kind of tedious if you ask me, but...
Right.
I have a good idea to what a Grey Warden is or what a... What's the dude that can cast magic...
Mage?
There's a term for them where you, those born who cannot cast magic.
Oh.
I forget how it's called. Anyway, you know, the lore is pretty interesting if you haven't played the first game. You know, I mean, it'll catch up. I mean, for me, I caught up very easily, so.
Right.
I don't know about other people, because I like fantasy games to begin with, so.
Okay.
That could be it.
Okay, yeah, the town you were talking about was Kirkwall?
Kirkwall, right.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, so Dragon Age 2, I know it's an old game, but. I like it. Chris probably didn't like it as much as I do.
Yeah, but I did play the first one. And if you play the first one and you go into the second one with high hopes, I think that by now you have an idea of what everybody's thoughts about that game has been.
It's also pretty interesting that the game's been out for a while now and somehow has been totally forgotten in a way. I mean, I remember Dragon Age 1 when it came out. People were, like, still talking about it for months.
Yeah.
But Dragon Age 2, it just felt out of the radar for some reason.
That's a good point. Right? You know, they haven't announced really any DLC stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say also, but when you mentioned DLCs, I don't think there's going to be some DLCs the same way Mass Effect 2 has been, you know, getting. So.
Yeah, I mean, even with Dragon Age 1, they were pumping out a lot of different DLCs.
Yeah, was it The Awakening? What was it called?
For
first one?
First one. Oh, well, you had Dragon Age Origins, then you had Awakening.
Yeah, The Awakening. So,
but in terms of, like, actual DLC, they still had a lot of different content for it. So,
yeah.
we'll see. I mean, they haven't announced really much else. But like I said, I don't know if I'm going to return to Kirkwall anytime soon. I just, like, it felt so lazy.
Yeah. All right. We've talked about Dragon Age too long. Let's move on. What else have you been playing?
Well, recently I finally got around to finishing Alan Wake.
Another old game?
I've been going through a phase with gaming. I'll pick up games and I'll play the crap out of
games. No, it's like good crazy. Actually about Alan Wake, because Alan Wake hasn't been getting much attention lately.
It hasn't. And because, that's probably for good reason.
Yeah, it's 50-50. Some people like it, some people actually hate it. But the fact that it was the game has been delayed for a while, right?
The game was delayed forever.
Right.
Years.
And then it didn't really deliver the goods. So, but anyway, yeah, talk about it. So, like, give us a brief. I mean, I've only played a little bit of it, and
Alan Wake finished it. Yeah, I mean, I did finish it. It was recently in the news because they announced that not necessarily Alan Wake 2.
Yeah, good point. Actually, that was also news last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, like, it was very recent.
It has been confirmed that there's going to be another one.
Yeah, it's going to be off of the little Twilight Zone stuff that they're talking. Like, if you watch the episodes during in-game, you go to a TV and then you check that out. That's what the movie's going to be about. Wow. Or the next game's going to be about.
Okay. So, in a quick shot, like, what do you think about Alan Wake?
Quick shot. Oh, my God. I picked this game up day one purchase, about the collector's edition, and I was super excited about it because, like I said, it's been around for years before it actually came out, and everything I heard about it, I was like, yes, I need to play this game, because I liked that total, like, he's a writer, and...
Yeah, that was a cool concept.
It's a really cool concept, but when it came down to the game, I played, like, it almost felt like it was too much for me to play all in, like, one sitting. When I get into my gaming moods, I can sit through a game and pound it out. I'll play 8-9 hours in a row and just not think about it twice. Alan Wake is one of those type of games where, like, I mentioned L.A. Noire earlier, I can't play in long segments. Like, I'll play a couple things on L.A. Noire, like a couple, I don't know, they're not really episodic, but...
No, they're cases.
Yeah, I played a couple cases, and then I have to put it down for a while. That's how I felt with Alan Wake. And Alan Wake, like I said, I bought it day one. I'd play a couple episodes, and this one is episodic. Or I play one episode, and then I put it down.
Really?
And then it'd take me several days to pick it up again. And then each time I'd play an episode, it just got longer and longer between the episodes. Because one of the things I hated, oh my God, I was so sick of by the end of the game, even taking those long periods of time between each play, was running through the woods. The woods just pissed me off so much.
You're talking about, like, during nighttime?
Yeah, during nighttime. Any reason the game could, they'd throw your ass out in the woods with a flashlight.
Yeah,
and it didn't even feel like it was part of the story anymore. It's just like, all right, we need something to do in this level here. What are we going to do? What can we make him do? Well, there's the woods over there. Let's throw his ass back in the woods.
So I think, have you played Red Dead Redemption?
I have not finished. I played a little bit of it.
So is it kind of like similar in the sense where they drop you in the middle of the desert and you just have to keep...
Well, Red Dead gives you going. Open world, though. Because you can do so much shit. This game's linear, and you're forced to be in the woods.
Yeah, I just find, like, riding the horse in these barren wastelands are just pretty boring. I don't know, but it's just
some people like that, and like that's an open world game, so that's like a totally different type of game.
That's true. And I don't know.
This game just like to progress through the story, you needed to go through the woods, and oh my God, I was just so freaking annoyed by the end of the game. I was thanking God. The only reason I finished the game is because I promised one of my friends that I'd finish it and we'd be able to talk about the game and how it ends, because I heard about the ending before I got to it, and I didn't believe what I heard.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, there's no way they can end the game like that. And you know what? My friends were right. They did.
And so was it worth it?
Oh, God, no. I mean, okay. it was worth it to see the train wreck at the end of the game.
Okay.
But getting to that train wreck was even worse. It was just, oh, my God, I hated it.
Okay.
I did not like that game very much at all. I liked the theory behind the game. I liked the idea behind it. Some of it was executed rather well. But overall, going through the woods was just too much for me to give it a positive review. Now, I do have friends who love that game and still talk about it.
I know a couple of gaming journalist guys have seen and, I mean, you know, played a game and totally love it. I don't get it either.
Yeah,
I have not finished the game, but I don't know why this game is, like, in their top five.
Oh, I didn't either. Like, when I was watching top 10 reviews last year, or, like, reading them off of websites and seeing Alan Wake popping up in a lot of different people's reviews, I was just blown away by it. Because it's a great concept, but I can't give it a high grade on concept.
Yeah, with Red Dead, I could see why it would reach a lot of top 10s or top 5s, because there's something about that game, even though I'm not really a big fan of that game. I like the game. But with Alan Wake, though, it's just, well, if there's one thing I want to say about the game, at least it's better than the recent Silent Hill games. That's just me, though.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I haven't played the latest Silent Hill game.
Oh, so which, the one for the 360 PS3?
Yeah, Homecoming? I haven't played Homecoming.
It was okay, it wasn't the best.
Right, I mean, after 2, because, I mean, 2 was the best of that series.
Yeah, our good friend Adam Roble would agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, 2 was amazing. And then I like 3. 3 was okay, but, like, I think they blew their load on 2 in terms for Silent Hills, because that game was so good. It's almost downhill from there, unless they like completely reboot and like they redo everything to it.
So, but wait, comparing Silent Hill to Alan Wake, what do you think?
No, Silent Hill 2 was amazing.
Okay.
That game was absolutely amazing. It was one of my favorite survival horror games. Although my favorite survival horror game, I know I'm going off topic a little bit, was Fatal Frame.
Yeah.
Fatal Frame is one of my favorite horror films or horror movies. Damn it, horror games. Sorry.
All right, so Alan Wake, thumbs up for you or thumbs down?
No, thumbs down.
Okay. What else is on our?
That's really what I've been playing. Like I said, L.A. Noir is actually the game that I've been playing most as of late. But we're going to be talking about that later.
Well, I guess we're going to talk about it now, since
we're going to talk a little bit about it now. But we're going to have our own podcast for it. So why don't we talk about what you've been playing, and obviously L.A. Noir is on your list.
Yeah, because the only game that I've been playing is L.A. Noir, unless you want to count the Japanese games I've been playing.
Oh, we're going to talk about the Japanese games you've been playing. Like I said.
All right, maybe in a bit. But
East versus West.
Okay, about L.A. Noir, we can talk a little bit about it, because, yeah, the reason why I can talk a little bit about it is because I have a 60-gigabyte PS3, and the overheating issue is fucking giving me the paranoia.
Okay.
I just don't want to risk my PS3 getting the yellow light of death.
Well, give me a little bit of background on that, because I know very little about that whole
old. Okay, so basically, when Alien War was released last week, there have been reports that it was causing overheating issues for both PS3s and 360s.
Okay.
At first, it was a PS3 report at first, because the PS3 had an update, the 3.61, and I think Rockstar or... Yeah, it was Rockstar. They kind of said at first that, hey, this is Sony's fault for the firmware. So that's the reason why you guys are having the overheating issues. Until later on... Yeah, I know, right? And then until later on, it was...
Rockstar blaming somebody for something? I don't believe it.
I'm not sure if it's really a blame. But anyway, so afterwards...
Oh, okay, not admitting.
Afterwards, it was also reported that the 360 has been getting overheating issues too. So I think Rockstar apologizes to Sony about that. I was like, yeah, okay, it's not your fault.
Well, they did the same damn thing with hot coffee. Remember that whole entire thing?
I don't know.
Well, oh.
But anyway, so the main issue here is, yes, if you have an old PS3, like the 60-gigabyte, the 80-gigabyte, and the 40-gigabyte units, you might not want to play this until a patch, because Rockstar is apparently working on a patch, but it has been a week now, and there's no patch yet. So... I mean, I've read a couple of forums where people have been playing it using their old PS3 systems. I can't say for the 360, because I don't have the 360 version.
Is it only if you're playing in long stints?
Yeah. Where the thing kind of, the fan noise gets loud, really loud, right? But anyway, so I heard reports that some people have been playing it okay using their old systems, but I'm paranoid about this. I don't really want to risk my system because I love my 60 gigabytes. So
right, I have a 60 gig too.
So yeah, that's basically it. So PS3, 360, LA Noire patch needs to happen pretty soon. Otherwise, I just wasted a couple of bucks.
No way, man. I mean, it's a solid game.
Yeah, I mean, I could play it for like a little bit. There are times where I could just play for like an hour and then suddenly I could feel the fan really going up. So that way it's like, I'm going to just turn it off just to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But okay, well, I could talk a little about the game. At least I played for a couple of hours.
Okay.
And the best way to describe it, and most people have been describing it the same way as well, is it's essentially Phoenix Wright meets Heavy Rain meets awesome, sorry, budget. Sorry about that. But anyway, you agree, would you?
Have
you played Phoenix Wright?
I have played Phoenix Wright.
Right, so it's,
I never finished Phoenix Wright, but
I'm not. I have finished the fourth game, which is not even part of the trilogy. But anyway.
Okay. Yeah, I did like that game. And Heavy Rain, yeah, I can see that. Big budget, yeah, you can see that. Because, I mean, the facial expressions tech demo that essentially is. Yeah,
it's really gorgeous. I mean, it works and when it works, but there are times, though, where you can notice that it's a little bit janky.
I agree.
But so far, yeah, that's how the game plays. You go to, there's a case, you interview people, you know, lie, doubt, all that stuff. I thought it was really cool. Like, it's not a game for everybody, if you think about it. It's not like the GTA during the 40s. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that type of game. People are kind of...
Thankfully.
Yeah, thankfully at least. Because people, I think some people before the first trailer was announced, or the first trailer was unveiled, people were like thinking, oh, is this going to be another GTA game set in an earlier time?
That's how I felt. Like, when they announced it at E3, and they just said L.A. Noire.
Yeah.
They didn't show anything, just L.A. Noire.
Exactly.
And I saw that, I'm like, oh, great, another open world
game
that I'm probably not going to care about, like Mafia or something like that.
Yeah, and then they showed the first trailer, which I was blown away with the whole motion capture thing, and then the fact that it's... Yeah, it will play different than your typical Rockstar game. Well, for one thing, it's not even a Rockstar-developed game. It's a Team Bondi. It's the guys from Australia, I believe.
Okay.
I don't know. But so, yeah, it's I think it's a really solid game from what I've played so far. You played more.
Yeah,
I've played more about this.
And like what I was talking about, like the cases, it goes case by case.
Mm-hmm.
You have the option of going to do a couple side missions.
Like cop sort of business.
Yeah, and basically that's when you get to use your gun and start just shooting people for no reason. It's like, hey, this guy mugged me. Okay, I'm going to go shoot him now.
Yeah, with the amount of time, let me say now. I played for like less than 5 hours or at least 3 hours, and I think I've only fired my gun like a couple of times.
Right, which kind of almost turns away the Grand Theft Auto fans because like I have a friend who is a Grand Theft Auto fan, and he bought this game day one, and I've been talking to him as he's been playing this, and his excitement level has been steadily declining
because
his first thing that he texted me was, there's not enough shooting.
Yeah.
And, he's the type of gamer. Yeah, I'm glad. Personally, I'm glad, too. I agree with that. I don't necessarily just need another open-world sandbox shooter where I can just go on top of a roof and start sniping people for no reason. I don't need that. I think there's enough games like that.
Exactly.
That I don't need that fix. So
my good friend Kenneth, who is not even a... He's not a fan of Grand Theft Auto 4, but he loves Saint Row, which had... I think it did a better job for the whole free roaming aspect.
I love Saints Row 2.
Yeah, Saints Row 2.
Saints Row 2 was amazing.
So, to see another type of game like that, yeah, it's been overly done.
Right, it's been completely overly done. And that's why I'm glad L.A. Noire is not like that.
It's different.
It's more of a, you're doing like a CSI type of thing where you're doing case studies and you're trying to find evidence and you're interviewing people and trying to find out their line, which I like that whole aspect.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the Phoenix Wright thing about it. It's where you interview people and then... Well, yeah, there's no objections or anything, but it's sort of a similar same thing where you have evidences, you have clues, and... Oh, yeah, speaking of clues, I want to talk about a little bit about it, is the... where you can turn it off so that things get challenging. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah, in the options.
Yeah.
You can turn off the little sound cues.
Yeah, that's actually a good one if... Well, I like to be sort of spoon-fed with these type of games because I'm not really good when it comes to critical thinking.
Okay.
So... But actually, I thought it was interesting where you could just, like, no music, no clue sounds or anything. Just go to the do your thing. I don't know.
No, I think that's a really cool thing that they do. The other thing that I really liked that they did was giving you the option of playing it like a noir style.
Oh, the black and white? Yeah, that was also cool. I tried it myself, but I turned it on
for a case, and then I felt like I was missing something in color for some reason, and I turned it back on to color. I know it's a stupid type of thing, but they really did a really good job with the black and white look to the game.
Yeah.
It's a high-quality game, and I definitely recommend checking it.
I know. It seems like we're doing an in-depth thing
already. Yeah, let's stop talking about it.
But definitely, if you're looking for a good, solid game right now, definitely pick it up. It's something. I like it.
We'll do a full review in the next week or two.
If they could get a patch.
Yes, if G can finish the game. Although I did buy mine on 360 and I haven't had any issues, but I don't have that Blu-ray technology that must cause your 360 to overheat.
Lucky you. Okay, what else have I been playing? Or should I
Catherine?
Go to... Oh, the demo?
Yes, you need to explain the demo. Let me give you a little background. Okay, so I was over last time when we recorded the Thor review, and G is like, I need to show you this game called Catherine. He has the demo on his 360, or I'm sorry, on his PS3.
Yeah.
Because he has a Japanese account, so he goes in there and downloads Japanese games, or the demos at least. So explain Catherine to me.
Actually, I was gonna talk about this later in the news segment because the U.S. website just went up.
Okay. Well, we'll briefly touch it on the news, but I want you to explain what I witnessed, or try to explain what I witnessed in this demo.
It's been a while since I played the demo thoroughly. What I showed you last week was just a quick peek on it, but I honestly cannot explain the game per se, except that it's a puzzle game.
Right.
Like the genre is a puzzle. What was that game you mentioned that's similar to it?
Oh, I made a joke when he was showing it to me that it looked like Cubert.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that.
It's not like that at all.
No. Like how you play it, right?
Not
Cubert. You mentioned Cubert, but
I didn't mention Cubert.
There was another game I was trying to. No, I can't think right now. My mind is totally blocked.
Basically, what the part that I saw of Catherine in the demo was this guy who was going on these blocks, climbing up like this whole entire block pyramid almost.
Yeah, and you have to do some puzzle stuff with it.
And it's puzzle solving, moving some blocks, getting up to the next level. So it kind of just reminded me he was bouncing off the different roads or different blocks that kind of reminded me of Cubert. And to add to the quirkiness factor, the dude is wearing only his underwear. His boxers.
Where, by the way, if you pre-order the game or this is the special edition of the game,
uh-huh.
It comes with the boxers. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
So he's wearing only boxers and he has ram horns.
Horns, yeah.
First, I don't know. Japanese gaming.
I don't know the significance of that, but yeah, it has something to do with weird Japanese stuff. But... okay, that's just the puzzle aspect of the game. The other aspect of the game actually is the dating sim, which is, I think, I could be wrong because I don't have the full game, honestly. I just played the demo.
Right.
But there's a dating sim aspect that's similar to the Persona social link system because Catherine, by the way, is made by the same guys who made Persona 3 and 4,
okay.
Two of my favorite Japanese RPGs. So, there's a scene there in the demo where you're at the bar and then you receive a text message from the girl, the Catherine with the K, who is supposedly your fiance.
Okay.
Because, before we go there, by the way, the game, the story, essentially, from what I know so far, is it's about a 30-year-old guy named Vincent who suddenly meets a 22-year-old blonde girl that's Catherine with a C, but Vincent has a fiance who's also named Catherine with the letter K. So that's all I know so far. So don't... I mean, fanboys, please, just don't mock on me on this. But
oh, anyway. No, absolutely not. It's...
crazy.
Yeah, it's a crazy Japanese game, what it boils down to. It's a lot of cleavage, a lot of...
But anyway, going back to what I was saying earlier, there's a part there in the bar sequence where... you receive a text message, and then you have to reply reply a message to the girl. And I think whatever you reply sort of changes the good and bad sort of bar at the top right. I don't know. It's been a while, honestly.
But okay.
Essentially, yeah, there's a dating sim going on with that one. I don't know how that affects the game later on. Like I said, it's a demo to begin with. So.
Right. Like, it's a demo that's in Japanese. That's the other thing that you should stipulate.
I know a little bit.
You understand a very little bit of Japanese, but not enough to text message girls back and get the proper responses that you want.
Right.
The game is coming out in the U.S., though.
Yeah, July. The U.S. website just went online a few days back. So
right. So I definitely encourage anybody listening to this to at least check out the trailer for how weird this game is. I went on before we did this podcast just to watch some gameplay footage. It's on YouTube right now. And holy shit, it's weird.
Okay, I think we're going to do one more game from me. Then we go to a quick break for the news. And I think if there's one game I want to sort of give hype to, since I'm on the spotlight here, obviously... Thanks for the Catherine. I wasn't going to talk about that.
But... Oh, you got to talk about Catherine.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
That haunted me forever. The dude has horns.
All right.
Why does he have
but
horns?
That wasn't, you know, that's not the game I was originally going to talk about. Okay? The game I really want to talk about, and I showed you the demo also last week, was El Shaddai, Ascension of the Metatron.
Okay.
Now, this game is developed by Ignition Entertainment. I think it's their first big project. It's directed by the art guy from Okami, and I believe some of the Capcom guys who worked on Okami are working on this as well. I could be wrong. So, to those who don't know, it's an action game that's similar to Devil May Cry, Ninja Gaiden, but with a twist. And that twist is the graphics, which look gorgeously amazing for me, Chris. Okay. You will have to comment on what you think about the graphics, because the graphics essentially it's acid. It's trip, all right? It's like, imagine Okami, but really artistic and full of these colors and simplified...
Yes.
I don't know. The word is acid, okay?
If Okami wasn't artsy enough for you, this game takes Okami to a whole new level. And I definitely think you need to be tripping balls in order to understand what's going on and to fully enjoy the random floating heads that you see in the background.
And it's a cool game, okay? And there is a story to this, actually, because the name El Shaddai, Ascension of the Metatron, it's actually... Actually, I don't know even the whole background about...
You told me a little bit about it when you were showing it to me and tried to
sell
me on
this. Yeah, but I know there's a real...
But I was completely sober at the time.
I know, but there's a real definition behind El Shaddai. But anyway, the story is about an angel and his brother, Lucifer, I think. I forgot the main character's name, the one you're playing. And it's a retelling of the Dead Sea Scrolls. So...
Okay.
Shane Bennethausen, who was former of EGM and one of the guys who is kind of working on this project, the way he describes the game overall is basically Okami meets Evangelion meets Devil May Cry. So if you love those properties, then I'm pretty sure you're going to like this game.
Yeah, it looks beautiful, like I said, but it's something that I don't know I'll necessarily get into. I like the concept of the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah.
I love me some religion in games for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I did like Dante's Inferno because of the whole...
I think it's going to be better.
Dante's...
Because it's more artistic.
I just like the stories behind that stuff, so I'm always fascinated in that. I didn't say the gameplay was great or anything, but what you showed me between Catherine and that game, I was completely blown away in how weird the other side of the world is. In order to meet the trip balls, I need to. Then I will get a Japanese account and start playing some of these games because, holy shit, I was blown away.
The game already came out in Japan last April, and it's coming out in the U.S. I think August.
Uh huh.
Not sure.
Yeah, I think you told me it was August.
It's August. So, essentially, it's a Devil May Cry meets Okami. So, if you like that, then you should really check it out if you can. If you have a Japanese account, download the demo. It's a must play. And more on this probably in the next few weeks, in a future...
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be talking about it sometime in August when it comes out, because I know you're going to be playing it.
I'm going to be playing it. I'm there day one. I love this game. I mean, I love the demo. I think we're going to love the game. So
I will be there in my boxers.
We're going to take a break, and afterwards we're going to go with the news. And we are back. Actually, you're right. We're not going to talk about the news. We're going to talk about movies or shows we've seen recently. Because I can't believe we've been talking about El Shaddai and Catherine so too much. You've seen a really awesome movie recently. I've seen a awesome movie recently. Who wants to go first?
Go ahead, man.
Okay. I'm going to talk about the movie I saw a few days ago. Or, sorry, last night.
Last night, yeah.
No, because this goes up on Friday. So, 2 days. Whatever.
you saw it last night.
Okay, I saw Attack the Block.
Right.
To those who don't know, it's a horror comedy movie by... Is it Joe Cornish? I forgot the director's name. Basically, he's a buddy of Edgar Wright. And the way to describe this film... Joe Cornish, okay.
He wrote it, too.
Thanks. He wrote it, too. So... My best, comparison for this movie is The Goonies meets Gremlins. Not sure if that blends well.
I don't know. That's like a curious thing. Like, I didn't know anything about this movie until you called me, 2 days ago and said, hey, do you want to go see this movie? Unfortunately, I didn't have the time to go see it with you, but yeah. I watched the trailer before you went, mm-hmm. and I literally did not know this movie existed before you told me
actually,
about it.
Actually, when I first saw the trailer, I wasn't really excited about this until mm-hmm. I heard the buzz. People are like saying, oh, it's an instant classic. So on.
Been doing really well at show. Was it at Sundance?
I don't know. I don't remember. But to give you a background, okay, so the movie, like I said, it's kind of like The Goonies meets Gremlins. It's basically about, in London, there's a alien sort of attack.
Okay.
And there are these kids who are caught in the middle. That's all you need to know, actually, because I don't want to give too much.
Okay.
In fact, the good thing about this movie is the less you know, the better, because it will surprise you with... It's really witty humor. You know, the writing's good. I could use subtitles, though, because since it's set in England...
A lot of the accents?
Yeah, the slang is too much. I mean, especially for kids. You know, these are like 12 to 15-year-olds. They're like talking all these stuff. And sometimes I just get like, oh, okay. But it's like you can tell that there's more to their, you know, what they're saying. It's really too much for me.
Right.
Yeah, but overall, I enjoyed the movie. I think it's one of the better horror comedies I've seen in recent times.
I've like to cut in real quick. I've always had that problem with some of the English films or British TV where they're just talking and they're talking so fast, I don't understand the accent. Like, my brain just doesn't process it. So when I saw the trailer for this, I definitely saw that they do have thick accents in it.
Yeah.
And it was going to be something that I want to be like, oh, crap, I'm not going to understand some of the movie.
I don't know, but there are times where it could... work, like Shaun of the Dead for me, it took like and I saw it like twice and I finally understood what's going on.
Well, is this movie like that for you? Is it like Shaun of the Dead?
No, that's the funny thing about it. It's really not like Shaun of the Dead, even though it's from the same producers.
Okay.
I think it's a different movie, you know. It's not really totally LOL funny. It can be, but it's not like Shaun of the Dead or even Hot Fuzz.
Okay.
Although people might think it is, but from what I've seen so far, I didn't feel it. You know, I felt it was just a really good sort of throwback to 80s horror comedy movies. Kind of like, yeah, like Gremlins. What was that other movie? Critters? Essentially those...
There's so many different 80s movies that were like that.
But essentially it's kind of like that. It's a throwback to that. You know, and movies we haven't seen in a while. And... Yeah, again, I guess I'm just gonna say this. What I just want to say is, like, yeah, I really enjoyed the movie, and okay. You will too, if you know you, Chris, you might really like it.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds interesting. I just pulled it up here on IMDb, and their tag basically is like "Attack the Block," and summary is a teen gang in South London defend their block from an alien invasion.
Essentially, that's what I said. It's like,
yeah. So I mean,
that's all you need to know.
Short, simple, to the point. And is Nick Frost in this a lot?
That's another thing too. Nick Frost is in the movie. Nick Frost, by the way, is the guy in Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and Paul, the chubby guy.
Simon Pegg's best friend.
Simon Pegg's best friend, yeah. And in this movie, he plays a stoner, which is pretty funny, actually. But he wasn't... He's not the star of the movie, obviously, but he wasn't... Yeah, it wasn't really not much of him.
Okay.
He was just there. He's a character, but it's not like they had to circle around him, you know. It's really mostly about the kids.
Right, and you think it does a good job of capturing just like an alien invasion, like in this little small area.
That's the thing; it's not really an invasion. It's just it's a spoiler, actually.
Okay, well,
yeah, there's no big twist or whatsoever. I'll give it that.
It's not M. Night's
No. There's nothing like that. In fact, the aliens they're just basically big. Werewolf-looking beast.
Okay, well, let's not talk about it too much. Let's not give away everything about it. But
yeah, but that's all I need to know. Like what you said.
Did you like it?
Yeah, like I said earlier, I really enjoy it. I don't love it though yet. Maybe after a couple of more viewings.
Okay, so it's kind of like Shaun of the Dead in that way. Because like I didn't get Shaun of the Dead. I had to watch Shaun of the Dead at least 2 or 3 times before I really appreciated.
Yeah.
What that was.
I saw it. Like I said earlier, 2 times to fully really understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's where I really understood the whole thing. Or I appreciated it, the movie. With this one, probably.
Okay.
So.
I'll definitely check it out when it comes out.
Attack the Block. I think it's not going to be shown in... I mean, it's only going to be limited in the U.S.
Is it only limited?
Yeah. The reason why I was able to attend a screening was because they really want to promote the movie.
Uh-huh.
The distributors in North America, they really want to make sure it gets the good word out. You know, guys like me.
Yeah, they showed it like in, 25 screens or something like that?
25 cities, yeah, last night. Simultaneously. So. Yeah, let's move to you. You've seen an awesome movie.
I don't know if I'd say awesome necessarily, right?
I heard it was good.
Yeah, early buzz on it has been really positive. I saw Kung Fu Panda 2 today. Saw it with my daughter.
Yeah, how was it?
I had to get that demographic down. it was good. It was a solid movie. It was a follow-up to, obviously, Kung Fu Panda. And they carry on the story of where part one left off. And you always kind of hesitate when you go into, like, animated movies sequels.
Yeah, and considering this is DreamWorks.
Right. I mean, I always get scared because they're... A lot of the times when they make an animated sequel, you'll get Aladdin 2. Or some movie that should never have been made.
Wait, Aladdin 2 is pretty bad.
Aladdin 2 and 3 were atrocious.
Hey, man. Aladdin 3 is okay.
But they should never have been made. Okay, so then...
That's off the point there. I mean, this is DreamWorks.
This is... Yeah, okay. Well, I'm just saying.
It's not direct-to-video.
For me... Okay, direct-to-video, like... Okay. This movie was decent. I wouldn't say it was necessarily as good as the first one.
Really? Because that's what I've been hearing.
Yeah, I just... There's something about it, like... I think the origin story in Kung Fu Panda was a lot more exciting. Seeing him become a Kung Fu master and this one, it kind of... It loses that fresh appeal to it. You already know who Po is. Mm-hmm. You know he's played by Jet Black. He's going to be doing those wisecracking jokes. And my daughter liked it. I liked the film. I'm not saying it was a horrible film by any means. When she walked out of the theater, she's like, I don't think it was as good as the first one. And I completely agreed with her. I said, you know, I that's a really good opinion because I've been reading a lot of reviews on the internet who's been saying, like, what you said, that the movie is just as strong as the first one, if not.
Yeah, AintItCool.com sort of gave it a really good feedback.
It's decent. It just, I don't know. I think it loses some of the fresh appeal that the first one had.
Okay.
And it kind of carries on to... It lends itself open to more. So are they going to just make this a big franchise, kind of like what the, you know, Shrek happened?
Yeah, I was going to say, are they going to pump it up like Shrek, like milk it?
See, I don't know. I'm worried about that because like Shrek 2...
I
know.
I don't really like Shrek, to be honest.
Okay. Like, I really like Shrek. I really like Shrek 2. I thought that Shrek 2 was equal, if not superior, to the first Shrek. And then
it's better than this first.
I mean, honestly, I thought the second one was really strong. So I kind of did have hopes for this one being, you know, a solid effort like Shrek 2 was. I was a little bit disappointed in that regard. But, like, Shrek, after Shrek 2, they just went for milking, and any money they can get for, like, the third and the fourth one, those just were not good movies at all.
Okay.
So this one, I hope that the way that it ends, they obviously lead the franchise into a new direction where they could expand on it and take it to a whole new level. Basically, you know, to give you a short summary of Kung Fu Panda 2, Po is in search of finding his true identity.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to give too much away, but obviously his dad in the first one was a goose. I mean, obviously that's not his real father.
So the legendary panda ninjas.
So is it panda ninjas? I don't know. Well, obviously I do know, but I'm not telling you. You will have to watch it and find out. But
okay.
It's a decent follow-up. I wouldn't say, like I said, it's not as strong as the first one. A lot of people think it's good. I thought it was good.
But is it still awesome? Because I just said it was awesome.
I wouldn't say it's awesome.
I just said a while ago that you saw an awesome movie.
I know. Like, you led into that. Like, we didn't talk about it before, obviously, going on to recording this podcast. But it's good. It's not great.
Is it at least better? No. Wait, sorry. It's not Toy Story 2 level, obviously. No.
No.
But is it at least better than your typical DreamWorks movie? I mean, the only DreamWorks movie I really enjoyed besides Kung Fu Panda, Dragon movie. How to Train Your Dragon.
How to Train Your Dragon was excellent.
Yeah. And Megamind I actually enjoyed.
I didn't like Megamind nearly as much as I liked How to Train Your Dragon. I really liked How to Train Your Dragon.
Dragon is basically up there with Pixar, if you ask
me. I mean, honestly, that's probably one of my favorite animated movies. I loved the crap out of that movie. It was just so well done. But, okay, like, if they made a sequel to How to Train Your Dragon, which I think they are, you know, I don't know if it's going to live up to it. And, like,
they have high shoes to fill.
They do, and that's what I felt like they had with Kung Fu Panda, because Kung Fu Panda was a solid movie.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Kung Fu Panda when it first came out. I thought it was a good step from your typical DreamWorks animation.
Yeah.
And I think since then, they've been trying to catch up with Pixar, but it's still been on and off. I mean, yeah, Megamind, I like, you didn't really like, you know.
Right, I mean, Pixar, I didn't too, see Monster isn't making, Alien. You know, perfect movies either. There's a lot of movies I complain about with Pixar.
Yeah, but generally, it's like, as a whole, you know, they're excellent movies.
Mm. Okay, as a whole, meaning their whole collection.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're like the old 90s Disney, if you think about it. And we're going off topic here. But
right.
So essentially, you pretty much enjoyed it. Or
I did. It, like I said, it's good, not great.
Okay. Because I really want to see it. I'm a fan of first.
Yeah, I would recommend checking it out, especially if you like the first one. You'll probably like the second one. I just personally didn't think it was as strong.
All right. So, we go to news?
Yeah, let's talk about news.
All right. What do you have here? All right, I have the news list here. Should we go with today's breaking news?
Yeah, why don't we do breaking news first?
Okay. Actually, all our news are all game-related, so unless you have a movie there somewhere, no?
No, not really. I mean, we'll see if we can think of something before the end. But
okay. I'll have a couple anyway, and they're pretty big. Well, one of them is really big. And basically, here we go. MGS Rising, the next Metal Gear Solid game featuring Raiden, apparently has switched developers, if I'm not mistaken, because Platinum Games, the guys who made Bayonetta and Vanquish, there's a rumor going on that they're actually secretly developing this game, and Hideaki Kamiya, who is the creator of Devil May Cry, Okami and Bayonetta, is directing this game. What do you think about that? I think this is like big deal.
It is. That's actually a big deal.
MGS Rising, because let's face it, when they first announced MGS Rising, Hideo Kojima, the creator, he was not really going to be super involved with this one. He really said like, hey, I'm just going to be in the producer's chair. I'm not going to do anything with you guys, a new team he built for this. So essentially it's not going to be like a Kojima directed Metal Gear, and that got people worried because
I don't know if that got people worried or got them excited. I mean, at this point, you're watching movies. You're not playing Metal Gear games. You're just watching cutscenes.
Not for me. People got worried because this is a new team, and they're going to handle a Metal Gear, something this big. You know, it could really go off ways. It could be a disaster. Think about it.
Honestly, I think that Metal Gear could use a reboot.
Okay, well, this is a good sign if you want to talk about reboots, because Platinum Games has been like an awesome developer from day one.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I love Bayonetta.
Yeah, that game's great. I think that this gives it hope in my eyes, because if I was to hear of another Kojima Metal Gear,
which he might,
I'm just not excited about. I'm not. After watching somebody play the last one and it being the majority of it being cutscenes, like, I had no desire to play that game whatsoever.
Yeah, we're not going there because I don't want to argue with you about MGS4.
Okay.
We did this like 3 years ago.
Yes, we did. East vs. West comes up a lot in our discussion.
Well, anyway, so basically here, okay, Metal Gear Rising is about Raiden, obviously.
Okay.
So there's going to be a lot of swords and everything, and with the guy who made Devil May Cry directing this, seems like a perfect choice.
It is. That you couldn't get a better choice. Exactly. I agree with you on that regard. I think it's a good direction, and I think that it's time for a reboot for like the series, like I said. But this is a good way to start a reboot.
If it plays
like anything, I don't know if I would want it to play necessarily like a Bayonetta, obviously, or a Devil May Cry.
But it's going to be in good hands, at least.
But yeah, I mean, I think the combat system will probably be a little bit
crazy. I mean, Hideaki Kamiya, if you see his resume, I think he hasn't really made one bad game so far. I mean,
it's solid.
Devil May Cry was awesome. Okami was awesome. Banana was awesome. Beautiful Joe was awesome. So
yeah, that's a hidden gem.
So the resume is pretty good. And again, it's a rumor, we don't know, but I heard from a trusted source that it's actually happening. So, exclusive Lost Level info right there.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, it's good. I agree. I think that it's the way to go.
Okay.
It's a good idea.
Next up I got here is Assassin's Creed Revelations. They released the first teaser trailer.
Okay. You want to talk about that, huh?
It was a minute-long trailer. What do you think? It's just Ezio.
It's Ezio.
That's it.
That's all you see. It's Ezio. It's like, yes, I know it's going to be Ezio. And so you don't really learn too much about what's going to happen, obviously.
It's
wrapping up the trilogy.
Yeah, that I was going to say, the trailer is hinting like, oh, it's the end of Ezio's trilogy. A trilogy nobody ask.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a minute-long trailer, and there's going to be a full trailer with in-game stuff next week. So probably we'll see more of Ezio, if I'm sick of Ezio, actually.
Okay, well, real quick, what do you think of the Assassin's Creed series?
Oh, I think it was crap at first, until part two blew my mind with its Evangelion-like plot going on. Actually, no. It's Evangelion meets Battlestar Galactica.
You like to compare things a lot.
I do, I'm sorry. But you get it, I mean, you get it, right? Battlestar Galactica? Gotta make sense?
No.
It does. Okay, this is a spoiler for BSG. I'm going off topic here for a bit, but dude,
no, don't spoiler BSG.
Okay, but I'm just saying, the ending of BSG is connected to the twist of Assassin's Creed.
That's the only way you can connect this, maybe.
I don't know, because you just said a little bit about Assassin's Creed. That's what's my
point. Okay. So, G's obviously crazy. And I kind of agree with him in the regard of, I didn't really appreciate, or I didn't like Assassin's Creed, the first one. Yeah. It just was way too tedious for me. I liked the story of it.
You did?
I did. I liked Assassin's Creed's story as opposed to 2 with the whole mindfuck at the end of 2. It's such a mindfuck. And, like, I don't know. I still don't know to this day if it belonged in that game or not. But they're going with that story. And
actually,
I played Brotherhood.
Yeah.
And I really liked the gameplay of Assassin's Creed 2. I liked the story up into the mindfuck. And Brotherhood continues on with that story. You know, when it was announced or when Brotherhood came out, a lot of people said it wasn't a sequel, but obviously it was.
It was a sequel. And in fact, it was a good sequel.
It was a solid sequel. Yeah. I really enjoyed Brotherhood.
Yeah, they added some stuff that were really good.
With the announcement today, it's like, okay, well, I knew they were finishing up the trilogy. Now we got the official announcement, so.
Well, no, the announcement already came out last month, but this is the first time they just released a trailer.
Right. And it's a typical teaser trailer for anything that you get nowadays.
I mean, I'm still going to be playing this, obviously. I want to know what happens next.
Oh, God, yeah. Now the mindfuck happened, and I've settled into the mindfuck, and I'm dealing with the mindfuck personally and emotionally. I'm ready to see how the mindfuck ends.
I kept mentioning Evangelion with Assassin's Creed, actually. It's not really like that. The best way to summarize... It's not. Okay, fine. But the best way, I think, to compare the story of Assassin's Creed is Da Vinci Code with some anime trappings.
Are you saying that just because Da Vinci's in the game?
No! I'm talking about Da Vinci Code, the conspiracy!
G is getting lazy, just like the Dragon Age 2 developers.
God damn it. No, but seriously, it is like the conspiracy behind, you know, this Templars and everything else, but with an anime twist. I think that's what Assassin's Creed is. Would you agree?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
We're agree to disagree.
Let's move on. Okay. Speaking of mindfuck... Actually, no, it's not mindfuck. It's mind blown. Modern Warfare 3 trailer.
Yes, the new trailer for
released it. Last weekend. I forgot.
No, it was released like.
It was a weekend during the weekend.
It was weekend.
It was a Friday.
It was Monday. Okay, yeah.
What do you think?
I was
blown away.
I was blown away by it. I'll admit, like, I really liked. I can't say I really liked Modern Warfare 2.
I love Modern Warfare 2.
I liked it. I didn't like some of the choices they made in it, and I didn't like the whole Red Dawn aspect to it as much. But
the guys conquering U.S. soil.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't like that aspect to it. I didn't like.
I actually like that. It reminded me of the Ultimates. Ultimates 2.
Okay.
Mark Millar's Ultimate 2, by the way.
Yes, Mark Millar's. Okay. Anyways.
Anyway, yeah, so Modern Warfare 3.
I was not really excited about it, but after seeing that trailer, yes, I was blown away by it. It looks phenomenal.
Yeah, I was gonna say also that I was not looking forward to be blown away by a teaser trailer. Oh, wait, no, sorry. Was it a teaser trailer?
I saw it on ESPN. No, I mean, I guess it's not really considered a teaser.
No, it's an in-game trailer.
Yeah.
Because the teaser trailer would be the threes with
America. Just the threes, right? Yeah.
So, you know, as a first in-game trailer, I wasn't really expecting to be blown away, and I was. I like what's going on so far. The whole everything, the World War III blowing shit up.
It takes Modern Warfare 2 and steps on its neck and says, "Hey, look, we're gonna up the ante here." It's like fucking Michael Bay directed this trailer, and it's just balls out.
No, but I think the reason why I wasn't excited at first was because of the whole Infinity Ward fiasco.
Oh God, that's been a mess.
Yeah, last year, because the guys who made Call of Duty to begin with are not going to be doing or have nothing to do with this one.
Yeah.
So I was really worried that is it going to be lame and everything? But so far it looks good.
No, I mean I've gotten to the point of just accepting Modern Warfare for what it is. I mean, I'm not looking for a terrific story. I'm looking for probably, a six-hour game? Or a six-hour single-player game.
Well, the story...
And a weird story that kind of makes sense that people are going to either love or hate, and then everybody's just going to be on a multiplayer anyway, so the story really doesn't give a shit or matter.
I may have a weird taste when it comes to stories and so on.
Obviously.
I really like the story of Modern Warfare.
Okay.
That's just me, though. It's cheesy, yeah, but at least it's enjoyable.
You know, yeah.
Entertaining.
Okay, I'll give...
The twist at the end of Modern Warfare 2, like...
I'll give it that. I'll give it the fact that it's trying to be different. Or it's trying to be... It's trying to give you a story, at least, where people just don't give a shit about a story in that type of game.
Yeah.
I mean, I have friends who have Modern Warfare that have never touched a single player.
Really?
They just do the multiplayer. Yeah. That's all they care about. Okay. Me, I need a story. Call me crazy, but...
Yeah, I was going to say Black Ops had a better story, according to some, but to me, I think I still preferred Modern Warfare
story. I haven't played Black Ops.
Really?
Because I was just, like, so underwhelmed with the story of Modern Warfare 2. Like, when Black Ops came out, I just I haven't picked it up yet. It's on my list of things to play. Obviously,
you should give it a shot. I mean,
I will eventually. It's just like I was going through a phase where I didn't play very many games. Obviously, the games that I talked about in this podcast from Dragon Age 2 and Alan Wake. Newer games out there, trust me.
Yeah, but since we're on the topic of Black Ops, to me, the bad thing, quote-unquote bad thing about Black Ops was it was the time where Call of Duty has catapulted its way to stardom, and it was like Activision saying like, hey, Black Ops, Call of Duty is going to be fucking awesome. You know, let's just be arrogant about it. And that's what I felt about Black Ops.
Yeah, there was definitely an arrogance about it, for sure.
Which is why I'm worried with Modern Warfare 3. And
I don't know. Thankfully, like I said, dude, Michael
Bay might not be that way. I don't know yet.
It's a Michael Bay fucking flick. It's just going to be money shots everywhere you look when you're playing this fucking game. Like, oh my God, look at that money shot in the background. And you're just going to blow your fucking load all over the TV. Luckily, you're going to be wearing boxers and have Ram's head.
Okay, before we finish Modern Warfare 3, I just want to comment about the logo. I didn't like it.
The logo?
Yeah.
It's okay.
I don't know. It's kind of cool. It's not consistent with the first two games.
It's okay. I can live with it. I don't really care.
Or maybe I'm just being a graphic designer.
You are being the graphic design. You're way too nitpicky.
Okay, let's move on. The next big news. Actually, it was big last weekend. This was announced last weekend. The PSP remaster series.
Yes.
Long story short, PSP games will now be re-released on the PS3 with HD visuals. Well, some PSP games will be re-released for the PS3. What do you think about that? The first game was announced was Monster Hunter, which I'm not
Monster
a fan.
Hunter. Which, yeah, I never played the Monster Hunter series, never really cared.
My good friends from backtogaming.com are fans of this, and they're pretty excited.
Right. I think I owned a PSP day one of launch. I probably picked it up for 5 or 6 different games in the duration of the existence, I guess, of PSPs. I'm not a handheld gamer, so there's a lot of games I didn't play on the PSP that I know I should have.
Uh-huh.
The game that I'm excited for is God of War.
You haven't played it.
No.
PSP. You should.
I don't play any game. Like, you'll learn later in the Lost Level podcasts that I can't get into handheld gaming nearly as much as most people.
So is this news for you? Like, the fact that they're going to put PSP games with HD visuals for the PS3?
It's a cool idea. I mean, yeah,
I think it's a big deal.
It's cool. I mean, I like the idea that you can actually save. Was I reading that you can save on the PS3 and then transfer to save to the PSP and go back?
That's one thing I didn't really research on because we were talking about this off air, and when this news came out, the only thing I really gave a shit about was, yes, I can now finally play HD visuals of PSP games on my TV. So I didn't really check out the specs or how well saves work, or even how well, you know, purchasing a game work. Like, if you purchase a remaster game, will that entail you to the PSP game itself as well? Like, are you going to be owning two separate discs? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not too sure on how they're going to do that. I mean, Sony is very weird about that shit. I'm looking at Kotaku right now. Their little short paragraph says, most interesting and promising for existing PSP gamers is that the save games for these titles will work on both systems. So you can take your save campaign from the PSP to the PS3 and back again.
Essentially, what it's saying is, if you have, for example, if you have a Monster Hunter save for like a gazillion of hours,
right? You could take that
and play it to the HD version,
right? And then take it back again.
I can see why that's also a deal.
Well, that's a huge deal for handheld gamers that they could, you know, pick it up, play it for a few hours at the train station, come back home, pop back on the big screen, and not lose any of that. That's huge news.
I think the question here is the NGP. Like, will it be the same for the NGP?
Oh, God. I don't even want to talk about NGP right now.
No, because if this is a possibility for PSP now, what about the NGP? Will NGP games be compatible with also a HD version for your PS3?
That's a whole other topic that we'll get into day, I'm sure. But yeah,
we'll find out in E3, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever's happening with the NGP, but so far this is a big deal. I mean, I listed a couple of games in my blog that I want to see in HD for the PSP, and one of them is Valkyria Chronicles. 2 and 3. Have you played that? The first game for the PS3?
No, I haven't. I've heard really good things
about it. Yeah, the first game was really good for the PS3, and when it was announced for the, you know, when the sequel was announced for the PSP, I was disappointed because I really wanted to play it as an HD because it's an awesome game. It's like Final Fantasy Tactics with a little bit of real-time shooting third-person thing going on. And I mean, I like playing on the PSP, but playing it on a couch HD, it would be amazing.
I mean, so I want to see that. That's where I am. I'm the couch gamer. I'm not the handheld playing it. I have an iPhone, so if I play any games, which is very rare to begin with, I pull out the iPhone.
Okay, and another game I listed was Final Fantasy Type-0, probably the Final Fantasy game of this generation.
Well, that'd be nice too. To actually have, you can be able to play a lot of those Final Fantasy games,
PSP
on the PS3.
Yeah, because the reason why quick thing about FF Type-0, there is a 20-minute YouTube video going on right now, but it's actually recorded through a video cam, so the visuals are not, you know, they're muddy. But so far, what I've seen, it's pretty good. It's not a crap linear game like FF13. Have you played the 13?
No, I played a lot of 12, got sick of the political story in 12, and then I stopped playing it.
And I'm talking to a wall then. I'm kidding. but essentially...
I watched somebody play some of 13, and I couldn't get into the combat system.
It's not really a good Final Fantasy game. It's a good game, in my opinion.
Okay.
I really don't want to expound on that.
You know what really turned me off about 13?
What?
Was reading the review, and it's saying it took 20 hours.
25 hours.
Yeah, to get into the actual
game. I mentioned that in my old podcast, yeah.
What the hell is that all about?
I know. Well, anyways, we're not going to talk about FF13 here. It's going to be another hour. FF Type-0, from what I've seen on the 20-minute video, it actually looks like a real Final Fantasy game. There's towns, there's world maps, there's airships. It looks good. It looks really, really good. And if we're going to... You know, if there's going to be a PSP remaster version, that's going to be amazing.
Okay.
Totally amazing.
This is only a plus for Sony. I mean, you can't really say anything negative about it. It's cool that they're finally doing something like that.
Okay.
And it's should have been done a long time ago.
Okay.
PSP's dead.
Is there any other game you want to get remastered for PSP?
Honestly, no.
You said God of War.
Yeah, God between... My PSP library consisted of Lumines 2, and God of War, even though I didn't play it.
In short, it's games that are meant for portable.
Yeah, games that were like that, and I still didn't play them. And, like, I love Lumines. I mean, I played that a lot when the PSP came out, but I don't play very much PSP, and I just don't. So, I mean, it's nice to be able to play God of War now on a big screen.
Now that you mention God of War, I don't really... see why it's going to be a big deal for that to be playing in an HD. Because the reason why I like the God of War games for the PSP is because I can play them anywhere else. They're meant for portable adventures.
Yeah.
Playing it in a big screen HD visuals seems like you're just playing another God of War.
Which is okay, because, I mean, people love that shit.
I don't know, for me, it just... Wasn't that the point for why they released these PSP versions in the first place? Is because...
Don't go back and try to understand them. I mean, yes, that was the whole point of it, but of course they're going to come out with this stuff. It's like George Lucas saying, all right, I'm going to release one edition of Star Wars, and then reneging on it 20 years later. Like, here's 30 different versions of fucking
Star Wars. No, what I'm just trying to say is...
It's a cash grab. I mean...
I know. I mean, I think we're going to see it too as a remaster, no doubt about it, being a first party and all. But... I don't want to play those God of War PSP games on the big screen because I already played them on the PSP. Then, it was fine as a PSP game.
This necessarily isn't good for it. I mean, this isn't important to you as to a person like me where I don't play handhelds. And now I'm going to have more of an opportunity or more, I guess, willingness to play some of these games that I've missed out on because I can play them on my big screen.
I guess what I'm just trying to say is that those games are good for being portable already. Mm-hmm. Like, leave it at that. It's not like Valkyria Chronicles where it will take you time to... I don't know. That's just what I'm thinking
about. But you see what I'm saying, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying, too, as well. And that's also the reason why I didn't list them on my list for games that I want to see remastered for PS3. And it's also not like Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker for the PSP. I mean, that is a portable game as well. But the reason why I also wanted to see for the HD was for the analog stick.
Mm-hmm.
Because that game is good, but I wish it had a right analog stick for the PSP because the camera is just, I don't know. You have to use square, triangle, X and circle for the camera, which is really bad.
Yeah, luckily I've skipped all that and just not played them. Because like, that would piss me off.
All right. Anyway, I think that's about it. Then the Catherine US site, which we briefly mentioned
already. Yeah, we talked about Catherine, so we can skip the weird shit.
I guess that's about it for news, unless you want to bring in something else up.
Well, didn't you have a couple other things listed?
Well, unless you want to talk about Dragon's Dogma.
You could talk about that. And then what about the Blood Rain thing that you wanted to talk about?
Oh, you want to talk about that too. Okay, well, okay. I mentioned Dragon's Dogma first, so let's talk about that first. Dragon's Dogma is it's a new action fantasy game from the guys who made Devil May Cry 4.
Now, is that multiplayer? Because I don't know anything about it.
I think it is. I'm not so sure.
It looks like it should be a multiplayer game, but if, like...
Yeah. Well, anyway, so they released a new video recently about how to defeat a griffin. It looks really cool. It has a Shadow Colossus sort of climbing
aspect. It does, yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I was mildly impressed with Dragon's Dogma, the combat video.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. I mean, basically, if you like Legolas, you're going to love the shit out of playing this character.
Legolas, because he has tons of arrow.
I mean, he's just firing arrows at everything. The griffin's really cool.
Yeah, that was the point of the video, is to show how to fight the griffin. It looks really epic.
Yeah, it's epic in scale, for sure. And then a couple of times when the character moved, it kind of looks awkward. I don't know. I'm a little worried about that when the character kind of moved.
Should be fine. I mean, I think it's using the Capcom MT something engine.
Yeah, but I mean, it piqued my interest. I'll check out more of it when it comes out.
Although the problem with Dragon's Dogma generally are the aesthetics. They seem to be generic. Think about it. They're not like stylish.
No, they're not. They're not tripping balls. Weird, like the stuff that you're used to.
Yeah, considering it's a Japanese developer.
Yeah, you would think that there'd be some floating heads in the background and some weird music playing and some guy running around in his underwear.
No, but it's actually a little bit of Dragon Age sort of thing.
Kind of like a Dragon Age, like...
Typical Western fantasy.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings-ish.
Yeah.
Kind of.
There you go.
So.
All right. If you haven't seen that video, go check it out. I think it's worth at least a minute of your time.
Yeah, the combat video. It's only like a couple minutes long. Check it out. It's interesting.
Okay. And what's the other video you want to talk about?
Blood Rain.
Oh, yeah, Blood Rain. So, was it last... Yeah, it was last night where they unveiled the trailer of a new Blood Rain game for XBLA and PSN. And surprise, surprise, it's a 2D Castlevania Metroid game.
Yeah.
I was really shocked by this because... Well, for one thing, I don't really give a shit about Blood Rain.
Okay.
When it was released for the PS2, I thought it was really stupid as a third-person action game. You know?
Right.
I don't even know who made it, the first game, the first two games. I totally forgot. I know it was some Western developer that has done... Like, well, anyway, so with this one, it's a new game for... Yeah, it's PSN XBLA, so it's not going to be full price. Right. And it looks... Like I said earlier, it's like a Castlevania meets Blood Rain.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know, because it's just funny to say Castlevania at the same time with Blood Rain, because they're both, yeah, they're vampire-themed games.
Yeah, and I always wanted to get into the series.
Really?
I did, because, like, I don't know, I liked the sex appeal of the main character.
It's funny, we didn't even mention that it had a movie.
Oh, God, the Uwe Boll movie? Yes, that was amazing. There's two of them. Was there two? I think she fights Billy the Kid in the second one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. You should look that up. It's good shit.
So, yeah. Actually, when I first blogged about this last night in my blog, I totally forgot that, yeah, it had a Uwe Boll movie.
Yeah, it's bad.
Gives you an idea that I really don't
give a shit. Although you get her boobies.
Whatever. So,
you do get nudity in that movie.
It just gives you an idea.
That might be worth it for some people.
It just gives you an idea. I never really cared about the franchise.
It was a game that I always wanted to play, and I always just heard meh things about, so I never really got around to to playing them. When they announced doing a 2D side scroll, I'm like, oh god, that's just gonna be lame.
And then the trailer was revealed last night.
And the trailer actually looks pretty interesting. Yeah. So it's something that I might have to check out.
It's on my radar now. I mean, I'm not totally sold by the concept yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, it compels me because I like playing Metroid and Castlevania. You know, those kind of type of games where you 2D, get lost, you level up, sort of thing.
Yeah, no, it definitely piqued the interest, as you said.
Mm-hmm. So, like I said last night, in my Twitter, it's suddenly Blood Rain is awesome.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Okay, I think that's about it for news.
Yeah, I think that pretty much wraps everything up, unless you wanted to talk about Shinobi.
Nah, I want to skip it, because I didn't really watch the trailer.
Oh, well, fair enough. Maybe next week we'll talk about Shinobi 3DS, and thoughts on the 3DS in general, but...
Yeah, so next week we should have another episode.
Yeah, we'll actually have episode 1.
Are we?
Yeah, probably the first episode.
This actually counts as an episode 1.
This is episode 0, damn it.
I know, but it feels like it. We've been talking for like an hour and 20 minutes.
Episode 0.
Yeah. Well, consider episode 0, which you are listening right now, as a... should I say beta test? Because the first was an alpha.
Yeah, I guess this would be beta.
Yeah, this is like a beta, the Lost Level episode. You'll see the real one. Hopefully, I'll do something.
Yeah, we'll have like strobe lights and music and all this weird shit going on in the background, kind of like a Japanese game.
No, I was gonna say we could have a guest.
Yeah, maybe we'll have guests. I mean,
episode 1,
to give you a little background on episode 0 and Lost Level in general, G and I are pretty much your primary hosts, and on occasion we'll have a third party seat sit with us, and we'll discuss some, you know, topics of the day or whatnot. But this is mostly just us just bantering about weird shit and what we think about stuff. So, hope you enjoyed episode 0.
Okay. We're going to sign off now. So, Chris, where can we find more of your work? On the internet?
Okay, well, obviously we're under construction currently right now, but I'm going to put 80% of effort into getting the website, but hopefully before E3. Right now you can find me on Twitter. There's two different Twitter accounts. Twitter/TheLostLevel is our official one, and we're going to start updating that on a regular basis. If you want my personal one, that's going to be Twitter/CalmIntensity.
Okay. And my Twitter name is GZEP, so you can find me at twitter.com/GZEP. That's GZEP. You can also find some of my writing and bullshit and whatnot at zepperoni.wordpress.com. That's zepperoni.wordpress.com. Wow, I can't believe it. I spelled it right.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm proud of you. Are you going to keep that up during... Is that going to be still your personal thing, or are you going to be doing more of your stuff on Lost Level?
I'm going to be doing both. Okay. You know? I mean, I can't do any Yui posts in Lost Level.
Yeah, that's true.
Any of my Japanese obscure weirdness.
That's right. That's right, that's true. So if you want more of a Japanese weird type obscure stuff from G, go to his personal WordPress account. And then Lost Level will be up hopefully within the next couple weeks. And then follow us on Twitter, like I said, The Lost Level.
Okay, and that's it for us. So till next time, guys. Thanks for listening.
Take care.
We are out.